some toys. I think I will. I never know if I'm going to stand up or sit down till I get out here. It just feels right. But I'm going to stand up and put my toys there. How's that look? Well, tonight's a subject that's maybe a little uncomfortable. We have been looking at things that are the world's biggest fears. We've talked about snakes and heights, and I know that we are going to talk about public speaking coming up, and tonight we are going to talk about death. And for some of you, it may be, some of us, it may be just a little uncomfortable to talk about, and maybe you're here tonight, and this topic is really frightening to you. That's okay. You probably aren't alone, but I want you to know the Bible has a lot to say about this subject. And so it doesn't matter if you are here tonight and you are really afraid of death, or you aren't afraid at all, it's good for everyone to know basically what does the Bible say about death. Because there is a lot about this topic in the Bible. The Bible does talk about it quite a bit. I want to start off with a story that happened to me when I haven't been overseas too much, but one time I was, and I was trying to get back home, and I was alone trying to get back to, we didn't have kids then, but I was trying to get back to my family, and I missed a connecting flight, and I was in London, and I had to fly standby. Now, do you know what that is? That is where you have a ticket, but it doesn't have a seat on it, and you are just hoping that someone else doesn't get on the plane, and then you can get on the plane. And you don't know until the last minute. That's what standby is. And so I was halfway around the world with a standby ticket, and I was nervous. I did not know if I was going to be able to get on that plane to fly back to the United States to see Rhonda. And so I looked around, and there was maybe at that this many people where I was. And a lot of people were reading, and they were listening to their music or talking and laughing. And then I looked, and there were people like me who were really nervous. And so I believe in my heart, those are the people who had the different tickets, right? If I could see who had a ticket on that plane because of how they were acting. They were confident. They knew that they were going to get on. But then there were the people who were really nervous, like me. They had a ticket, but they didn't know if they were going to get on or not. Hey, this is what I want for you tonight. I want you to think about heaven in that way. I don't want you to be I'd love for you to be at a place in your life when you just really aren't as anxious about what happens next. Are you going to get in or not? Something like that, like the people who didn't have their ticket. I want you to have an assurance and a confidence, much like those people with tickets had. That's what I want for you tonight. So the people who were at ease were people with tickets, and the people were flying standby, like me, were nervous. They didn't know what would happen next. And so the Bible will tell us, I don't want you to fly standby through life. I want you to know and have assurance what the Bible says about what is next. Hey, all of us here may be a little nervous. I sometimes think, and I get a little nervous sometimes. It's normal. But when I have these nervous feelings, here are a few things I remember. I am not the expert on this subject. I don't necessarily enjoy it. But one reason, I think, that we are a little uncomfortable about this topic is that it's mostly discussed at funerals or like at Fridays at Mikey's service. And in services like that, people are usually so emotional, it's hard to really look at it, step back and look at the subject of death calmly and logically and take a breath and try to figure out what does the Bible really say about it. It's hard to do at a funeral. You've lost someone close to you or someone that's close to someone that's close to you. And so it's hard to really do that at a funeral. But tonight, we'll do our best to just look just for a few minutes and see what does the Bible say about death. So that word death appears 372 times in the Bible. It's 44 times in the Gospels. Those are the four books that when Jesus lived here. And really, there's no one book in the Bible that talks about it a lot more than the others. In other words, it's just a good spreading. It's just all part of the Bible. And that's true, right? It's all part of history. It's all part of our lives. Death is a reality. It's something that we have to face. Okay, the first thing I want to say about it is, have you ever had an experience in life, something you really look forward to, and or something that you'd planned for, or something you thought was going to be great, and it wasn't as great as you thought, and after it was over, you thought, oh, there's got to be more than this. Or something you've worked hard for a lot of years, or something you wanted to do, some place you wanted to be, a relationship you had, and you thought it was going to be just fantastic, and it wasn't quite as, it was underwhelming, and you thought, ugh, there's just got to be more than this. There's got to be something better. Or maybe you're going through a tough time, or you're in a hard place, and you are just in a rough spot, and you think, oh, this is hard, and I don't have a lot of good answers, and you think, there's got to be something better than this. What I want to say is that's not a bad thought. I believe that thought is from the Lord, and I say that because look at 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house, or our body, of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. There's that longing that we all have. That's that feeling that we all have at different times and different ways when we think to ourselves, oh, there's got to be something better than this. That's that earnest desire or that groaning that we all have as we face different kinds of experiences here in this life. It comes from the Lord. Paul said, God gave you that. God gave you this thing in your heart where you think there's got to be something better, and there is. There is something better. There's something better than the best experiences we have. There's something better than the hard experiences we have. There is something better. So, the first, Becca, can we go back to that first verse again? Okay, just where he says, for we know. Paul assumes, the writer of this assumes that we know this. We should know about what heaven is or what this life is. We're expected to know this just logically, and we don't have to really always be emotional about the subject of death. Paul says, hey, we know this, and this is going to help us get through some things. Okay, so we know that there is a lot of life that's out of our control. There are things, and if you're like me, you try to control things that you don't have control over, and that sometimes leads to anxious feelings or unsettling feelings. God didn't intend for me to control a lot of the things I try to control. He wants me to rely on His control. But sometimes I like to try to control what I should let Him control, and that gives me anxiety. Do you know there are the two most important dates in your life are out of your control? My birthday and my funeral day, right? They're out of my control. They're the two most important days. You know, the day I was born, the day I leave this earth, and those are all in God's hands. We won't really look at it on the screen, but Solomon wrote a couple of verses about this in Ecclesiastes 3. He said, there's a time to be born and a time to die. So it's important and really healthy to accept that as a reality. Just like we're born, we're all here, it happened to all of us. We also have a time when we leave this earth and face what's next, a time to pass. Those are real days. And it's important to accept that it's going to happen. It is going to happen. We must face the moment when we take our last breath here. When you do that, it's not something you should fear, but you accept it. That is healthy. I want you to think about something. Think about what's in the trunk of your car. You should have, I hope you do, you have a spare tire and a jack, and you kind of know, or maybe you know someone who knows how to change it. How many of you would drive have a spare tire and a jack? Let's see your hands. Right, most of you. Anybody doesn't, let me know, and we'll talk about your safety. But, you know, you have in your trunk a spare tire and a jack, and you should know how to at least kind of change it or know someone. Now, why do you have that? Why do you have a jack and a spare tire? Someone yell it out. Why do you have that? In case you have a flat, right? So what that is, we're preparing, we're getting ready for something that might happen, right? How many of you have a spare tire and you've never had a flat? Let's see your hand. Well, a couple of you do. Hey, you're blowing my illustration. Come on, I need more. How many of you? So just raise your hands more. Okay, see, look at all the people here. Look at them. Anyway, there are people who have a spare tire in their trunk, and they haven't had a flat. They prepared something for something that might happen, but hasn't happened. Now, you take this concept we're talking about tonight of death. Hey, it is going to happen. Unless the Lord comes back before, it's something that we will face. And don't you think it's good to at least understand what the Bible says so we can be as prepared as we can be for something that happens to everyone? You know another thing that Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2? He said there's one event that happens to us all, and it has. For centuries and centuries and centuries, there's one thing that has happened to us all, and that is death. Okay, look at this verse in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. And deliver them through fear of death, were all of their lifetime subject to bondage. Hey, the Lord doesn't want you to be in bondage because you are in fear of death. He wants to free you from that. He wants you to live like you have freedom from this fear of death. So, what is life? What is it? What is life? I used to go to this hoagie place, and one of the guys looked at me one time and he said, "What is life? What is it?" Well, the only thing I thought of was in James where it said life is a vapor. What is life? Okay, so one of the things I brought this shirt, and I've worn this on, this stage to give a message. And I even had it on when they taped me for the Esquire anniversary video. Do you remember that? And I didn't really know that they were going to tape that night, or I wouldn't have worn this shirt. And I know some of you aren't crazy about when I wear this. And I never intended this to be a theological statement. It's not a Bible verse or anything like that, okay? I was in Branson one time, and I was cold, and I got this because it was warm, okay? I didn't put too much thought into it. I didn't mean for it to upset anyone. But you know, I'll tell you a better thing that I should have said. It's not life is good. I should have got a shirt that said life is short. Because it is. Hey, life is short, isn't it? Hey, doesn't it go by fast? Last month, I woke up one day and I was 60. Whoa, 60. That's a lot of years. 60. I can't believe I am 60. I just couldn't. Life goes by quickly. It's short. And do you know, my dad is 91. If you would ask him, what is life? He would say, you know what, Mike? Life's short. He's 91. And he would say, he's lived a good, long life. But he would say, life is short. It goes by. But you know what we do now in our short life really matters later. Even though life is short, it goes by, whoom, you wake up one day in April and you're 60. What you do now matters a lot later. It's important that we don't just live in this short moment and get what we can get now. And feel what we can feel now. Do what we do now. It's important to think ahead for us and people we love and figure out, what do our decisions, how do they affect us later? What you do now matters later. You know what life is? It's preparation for eternity. What you do now matters later. When you look at that, when you look at it that way, then some of your decisions are easy. And you start to think, what is the best way I can get ready for something I know is coming? It's like getting the answers for the test before you take the test. You can know now how to be ready for something you know is coming. And to show you that, I want to take you to the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I love my mom and dad, and they did so many great things for me, but the best thing they ever did for me was teach me Bible verses. They read those to me as a kid, and they just stayed with me all for 6 decades. That's the best thing. Do you want to help kids? Do you want to help people in your life? Just show them where good Bible verses are. Okay, I'm going to end with this. I want you to know that the best thing you could ever do to get ready for what's next after this life is a relationship with Jesus. That's the best thing. That's the only thing. That's the best thing. And I read a story about a guy who was a teacher at a university. Ryan, don't be nervous. I'm not coming for you. And his grandfather had the worst job in the world. Had the worst job in the world. He worked in coal mines. And he wasn't one of the miners. This was his job. Kind of makes you want to sing Silent Night, right? When you hold candles in here in our candlelight service. I don't think we did that last year. His job was to light a candle every morning. Just him. And he would go down in the mines and walk through where all the other caves and tunnels come through, and he would watch the candle. And it would be perfectly still as he would go. Now, if he would get to one and the candle would start to flicker, he was in trouble. Because what that meant was that there was some poisonous gas coming out of there if the light flickered, and he would run for his life, because he knew that if the candle flicked or flickered, that's how they could tell it. Then they didn't have some of those fancy tools that we did. So he just would carry a candle, and if it flickered, he knew there was something coming in there. He'd run for his life. But most days, almost all the days, it would be still, and he would walk all the way through everywhere. And it would still, he would blow it out and go up and make an announcement. He would say, "Okay, guys, I've been down in the caves. It's safe. I've been there. You can go now. It's safe for you." And they would all start to go down. Okay. Now, I bring that up because that's what Jesus did for us. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, there was a lot that happened between that moment and the point where he rose again. The Bible says he went to a dark place, and he fought a mighty battle for us. And he did it because when he came out of the tomb with the keys of death and hell in his hands. He did a powerful thing. He won a mighty battle so he could come up like that coal miner and say, "Okay, everyone, it's safe. You don't have to be afraid of what's next. I've been there. I've made it safe. We all can go now." That's why we put our faith in what Jesus did, not anything that we've done. Hey, there's some great people in here, people I love, done some good things. But you don't put your faith in what you've done. You put your faith in what Jesus did. He died for you. He loved you. He died for you, even though he was perfect. And he fought that mighty battle that we could not ever win on our own. And he came out of that tomb with the keys of death and hell and announced, "It is safe. You don't have to fear what's next. I've paid the entire price." Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. I'm just overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed with the price that you paid. Thank you, Lord, for a price we could never pay on our own. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, that's it. Next week, we're going to talk about something else. I think it may be public speaking, but you come back. I'm glad you are here, and have a great time.